Hello and welcome to Side Hustle. I'm your host, Brooke Andreas, and on this podcast, I'll be chatting with people who have an interesting side hustle or hobby outside of their 9-to-5 commitments. In this episode, I chat with Abby Aitchison, who is a practicing physio and owner of her own clinic, AA Physio. We chat about how Abby built her side hustle up from the ground while working in a local hospital, to the challenges she faces now running a business and providing a service at the same time. We also answer some listeners' questions, so stay tuned for that. Here's Abby. Hello and welcome to the podcast, Abby.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. So let's start from the beginning with your whole journey. So your 9-to-5 commitments, your side hustle and everything in between up until what you're at right now. What did that look like and what does that look like now?
I'd always worked in private practice straight out of uni and knew that ultimately I wanted to work in my own private practice. But we kind of moved around a bit as a kind of a young married person. But we found Mwillimbah because I had got a 2-month job here working for another physio practice. And I realised that there's no female physio in town and there was only 2 physio practices. And I kind of thought, oh, look, I could give that a crack. We weren't ready to move here yet, though. So I went back to Canberra and while we were there, we like plotted and schemed how we could make our way back up here. So, I mean, I guess officially it was a side hustle, but it wasn't sort of a flippant idea that we just came upon or, you know, decided to do something last minute. We planned it fairly well in advance, my husband and I. So when we were looking for houses in Mwillimbah, we looked for places that I could have a practice in the house. So we knew there's lots of great houses around here that, you know, you've got an upstairs and a downstairs or room on the side. So it was really deliberate. It wasn't sort of an accidental thing. But having said all that, I'm a super low risk person, so I wasn't going to put much at stake. I was kind of really nervous about doing it all. So when we moved here, I did get a full-time job at the hospital because I didn't think that me starting out was going to be able to support us, you know, newly mortgaged, newly moved here. I don't know anyone. I don't have any connections. I'm not going to sort of risk it all. Yeah, we planned it years in advance. So when I started working here in Mwillimbah at the hospital, it took us a little while to set up the practice at home, and then once I was ready to go, then I just kind of started to let people know that I was working from home outside of my normal hours at the hospital. So it was like an 8-to-5 job at the hospital, and then I'd see my first patient at home at 5:30.
That seems like an extremely long day having to work, you know, your normal hours and then come home. And how late did you work in for yourself?
Yeah, well, the practice that I worked in Canberra before I moved up, we were booked solidly every half hour from 8 till 7. So I was pretty used to that sort of work pace. And so it wasn't a big leap. And like I confess, working in a local hospital is like there's different stresses, but it's much slower pace. So I was hardly seeing the number of patients during the day at the hospital that I would have if I was in a private practice. So yeah, typically, it was so many years ago now, but I think I'd start at 5:30 and I'd have a 40-minute block, and so I'd see 2 or 3 people after work. And it's a really popular time because people want to come after work. So I didn't have trouble getting people there then. And I just guess I was really trained at being able to keep working and keep going and keep seeing people.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've actually heard from other physios myself that a hospital, yeah, is very, very different to private, and for different reasons. How did you find, like, for instance, some people say that hospitals can be, it's great in terms of benefits and
yes,
you're very secure and you're very safe in that area, but sometimes patients aren't as happy to see you because maybe you're not requested by them, you know, they are getting you because they need you rather than because they want you. So
yeah.
How did you find that?
That's such a great question, and it's quite humorous because there's literally times where I've seen the same person in 2 different settings and I'm the same person and they get a different package. Honestly, I'm just wrapped up differently. And, you know, we have a pretty good robust evidence in our industry that shows that when people choose to see you, certainly when they're actually paying to see you, you will get better outcomes because people are putting more on the line. And so it has been funny when I've seen people in both settings and you know, they we're getting different outcomes sometimes. My whole side hustle, honestly, truly, has been supported 100% by the fact I got 2 lots of maternity leave from New South Wales Health. So I was able to continue working once I had my kids in the practice while I was still, you know, I'm such a low risk person. I don't want to throw it all away. Working in the hospital when you're someone like me, and like, it's probably a failing that I'm quite bossy and I have a tendency to want to be autonomous, working in the setting of a hospital was frustrating and getting on my nerves because I couldn't get what I wanted out of the of my profession, and I couldn't get what I wanted for my patients either. So I found I was actually really disliking being a physio in the hospital as well, so it was almost crucial for my career to then get the hell out of there and really get back onto being in a private practice. And ever since I've gone full-time private practice, I've been totally in love with my profession again. Yeah. So it's the hospital versus private practice thing is something that I think each physio themselves, because we often have worked across the two, has to like, have to resolve it for themselves.
Yeah, different people suit different areas. I guess that's totally every profession. How did you go making the leap? What feelings were associated with making that leap, with quitting that, you know, safe, secure 9-to-5 job and then deciding to take this project on full-time or this side hustle?
Yeah. Oh, look, again, back to me being super low risk and like a nervous sort of decision maker and I never take financial risks, my hand was forced. So literally my contract ended at the hospital. I was very, very pregnant with my son and I knew I didn't have a job to come back to. I think to preface it though would be to go back a few steps and say that, you know, I started the side hustle when I was pregnant the first time. So I'm working 8-to-5 in the hospital, seeing patients at night, sometimes on Saturdays. And then by the time I was ready to see patients when my daughter was like 6 weeks old, you know, I opened the doors of the practice, started seeing people. By the time I went back to the hospital after having her, I was 2 full days in the practice. So I was confident that I could maintain that level of business. So then when I had my son, which was like less than a year or about a year after I went back to work with my daughter, I knew that I could open again, hopefully, and still have custom, you know, still have people coming to me. So it was really risky. It was really scary. When I look back at it, that was, you know, the most terrifying times, but I was pretty distracted with like a baby and a toddler. And I knew that, I don't know, I guess because I'm so low risk, I had like 5 and 6 sort of, you know, option A, B, C, D, E, F, which is, okay, if this doesn't work out, then I'll go and get a job here. And if this doesn't work out, then maybe my husband can do this. And if this doesn't work out, so I had all those sort of lined up, but you know,
I think it's important.
Plan A worked.
Exactly. And I think it's important to have those, you know, plan B and plan C, maybe plan to plan X. I don't know where that might
all
stop.
All the way to Z.
Exactly. When you're starting a business and I guess taking that on full time, I got asked a question to ask you that I thought was really interesting, and it's, how do you go, because really a business, whatever that might be, and being a physio, they're two separate businesses.
Totally.
Two separate businesses. So how do you go providing a service for someone during the day, you know, that's what takes up your time, but then also building a client base and, you know, building a business as well. How did you manage both of those?
Oh my gosh, that is like the story of my last couple of years, and I'm really interested that you asked me, because I think I just kind of put my head down and pretended that I didn't have to also run a business, because certainly in physio world, and it's a big buzz thing in the physio business world at the moment, is that we get zero business tuition through our whole physio degree. Like, we've got lots to learn. It's a jam-packed degree. I understand that. But even if you're just working in a physio department in a hospital where you're not literally hustling to get people through the doors, you still have to understand some concepts of business, and you still have to understand that, you know, we have a budget, we only have this much time. And it's certainly, I think, a real trouble spot in our profession. So I really did have to work to resolve those two things. Having worked in private practice before, I had some inklings of things, but it's 2 years ago almost, I talked to a business coach and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this. I don't know, you know, how do I run a business and be a physio? And it's a separate set of skills, a separate mindset. There's lots of things that I really had to build. You know, by the time I'd done that, so I'd been a physio for 14 years, by the time I went, oh my gosh, I need help with business, you know, I'd theoretically hit mastery as a physio. I'd done many more than 10,000 hours. I'd done like 30,000 hours as a physio, but nothing as a business person. So there was a lot of learning to do. It was really challenging.
Yeah.
I've come out the other side having learned so much. And to me, that's been the biggest hustle for me, is to really learn how to run it as a business. What do I need to do as a business owner, not just as a physio?
Yeah, because you've been a physio, say, for 14 years. So yeah. You kind of got that on the wraps. You know how to, execute
got it.
That service.
Got the body. Yep. But bone, joint, muscle.
The whole, exactly. But the whole business side, I even look at people that run businesses and I'm like, but how do you start and where do you go? But how do you get, and it's like, when do you know you have to hire other staff? Or when do you do this? And,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have that answer yet. Look, there are, now I've kind of tapped into the physio business world. There's, and I'm a part of a few different things now. So, you know, I'm in the local business chamber. I'm in this great thing called the Fem Economy. I had an amazing business coach, Sarah Beerstaker.
I know her quite well.
Oh, do you? Yeah, all right. Actually, well, there's a prop for Sarah.
Yeah, exactly.
She's amazing. And also, you know, there's like Facebook groups for physios. You know, I'm taking lots on, you know, I'm reflecting on stuff that my previous bosses have done and I've learned from them. And I mean, in fairness to myself, I didn't start knowing zero about business. I certainly to build specifically my case, I knew that this Mirbar Hospital at the time was, you know, sweet little country hospital, like a country practice, where the GPs would come up every morning and see their patients. And so that was really vital, so that I got my face in front of them. They knew I was competent, they knew I was good. And then, you know, when I'm like, hey, by the way, I've got a practice, I already had like an established referral base. And that's one of the low risk things about physio, is that a lot of my business comes from referrals directly from the GP. So I'm getting some really amazing referrals. I'm not having to go out in the hustings and try and get people to come to me. I'm not having to stand at the top of a hill and say, come see me, please.
Exactly.
Or get really aggressive on, you know, other forms of marketing.
Yeah, sure.
So that's how I started. And, you know, I had a couple of GPs that really supported me early on. And I really appreciate that. And then, you know, networking. It's all about networking.
I didn't really think about that. Is it? Obviously, every business you can network, but you saying that you can, when you're working in the hospital.
Yeah.
You can kind of be like, hey, listen, this is what I want to do. Whereas I guess when you're in a private practice under someone else, it's a little bit hard to go, hey, guess what, you know, I'm moving.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's certainly what I didn't want to do when we moved here, because I did work for another physio in town and I didn't want to come back and work for him and then open my own practice. I felt like that, to me, that was, you know, that was below the line. For me, it was like doing the dirty on someone, and I didn't want to do that. I needed to stand up on my own two feet. And there was like 2 years between working for that practice and starting my own. Yeah, but, and I mean, I'm exceptionally cautious of not being an ambulance chaser. Like, I don't want to, you know, see someone trip in the street and go, hey, I'm a physio, by the way, how's your knee?
Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, I did link up with There was a really great CrossFit gym in town, and great, I mean, it was actually a really good CrossFit gym, but they certainly hurt themselves. And, you know, the gym in town, and I got some really good contacts there. So, you know, that's kind of really started my clientele. And, yeah, obviously word of mouth is really powerful and important.
Yeah.
And, you know, we support that through, you know, thanking our referrers and, you know, making sure we're like up to the standard of what people expect of us. I'm still learning business. I'm still learning in physio. There's always so much to learn, but business side, always learning.
That's the thing though, with anything, I think if you think you're at the top of your game, maybe you might be in a certain area, but maybe there's a next level that you can go to where you can start learning more or growing more and taking another step where it's going to put you out of your comfort zone. But my next question is, kind of throwing it forward, what would you do differently if you started, you know, again today?
Yeah.
You know, is that, you know, I guess the networking is a good thing, but is that getting a business coach earlier, or what would that look like?
That's a really great question. I think reflecting on how many times I've said I'm a really nervous, low risk person, I would just back myself more. Like, seriously, like every time I get a bit down about the business, I look back and it's like, dude, you've been doing this for 9 years. Like, you think you have a down week, you think you're having a down day, you have like a bad interaction with a patient, whatever, like, far out, you're still going. Like, back yourself and know that you're doing it for the right reasons and you're getting good outcomes. Just you know, stop doubting yourself so much. And I've found like mindset has been one of my biggest challenges in the business side of things. So it's just back yourself.
Yeah.
Know that it's going to work out. And if it doesn't work out, well, yeah, you've got plan F. Yeah. Lined up, remember?
Yeah.
Maybe I would be a bit better at networking. I don't know. But yeah, in hindsight, I probably would have liked to have gotten a business coach earlier. But I feel like I actually kind of had to hit a bit of rock bottom there where I was at my wit's end with the business before I kind of asked for help.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a characteristic of lots of humans. Mm. It's even in my practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could write a letter to Abby starting earlier on, I would have said, get some business help earlier on for sure.
All right, now we're around halfway through this interview and we've had some listeners' questions come in and
excellent.
I couldn't really fit them into our normal conversation. Some of them are just a little bit random. So I thought I would ask them. This one comes from Heidi and she says, why are my traps always so tight? Laugh emoji, but seriously.
But seriously, yeah, I love it. I love it. Oh, look, oh, the traps are much maligned muscle. There's a few things. First of all, definitely people tend to only think about their upper traps, which is the ones that kind of are above their shoulders. And they typically get tight when people are doing lots of hunching over things. So if you're at a desk, if you're reading, you're at a computer, you know, hunched over your phone a lot. Because the second half of the story is that you actually have middle and lower traps, which sit between your shoulder blade. And they're almost like a little on-off switch. So if you are hunched right over, your upper traps are on, and you're not turning on your middle and lower traps, we know that there's this a little bit of a relationship with them, that if you can be sort of less hunched over and use the muscles in between your shoulder blades, it can switch off your upper traps a bit. We know that there's no actually such thing as good posture, bad posture, but any position for too long is going to be challenging. So, you know, I'm just going to presume that Heidi's doing some study or she's working at a desk. And there we go. Hi, Heidi. You need to move your position more regularly, and any sort of strengthening you can do to your like in between shoulder blade muscles. So anything like doing rows or lat kind of work, like lat pull downs, or just even like getting your shoulder blades back and forth and opening is going to sort of not actually, but kind of switch off your upper traps a bit more. And the only other thing is that they are always like where stress goes to bed. So if you are stressed out, most people get tight in their traps. So find a way to address that as well.
Yeah. I was interested in that question because obviously right now no one can see me, but I'm not sitting in the best. I'm kind of
And I'm judging laptop, you. I'm judging you.
Over the laptop, over the mic, kind of all of that. But I get headaches and it kind of starts on what I feel like from there or the bottom of my
100%. Head. Well, that's where it attaches.
And then it goes up to my temples and then I get headaches. So thank you for answering that for me and Heidi.
A double barrel one.
The next one comes from Avalon, and what is your advice for the prevention of musculoskeletal pain?
Oh, musculoskeletal pain. Yeah, sorry, yeah. No, that's all right.
I'm not a physio. I'm a podcast host.
All these Latin words. Oh, I mean, it's a really broad question, so I can't like answer specifically, you know, for your particular musculoskeletal pain. The evidence we have, it's a similar follow-on from the last one, is that we know that any particular position that you're in for too long, that can generate musculoskeletal pain. Also, you know, I have an alarming number of people coming in not realizing that they are as weak as water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the physical activity guidelines say that we should all be doing 2 strengthening sessions a week in order to stay fit and healthy. And so if you are, you know, if you're sedentary, if you're not doing enough exercise, you're not strong enough, you're much more likely to be getting musculoskeletal pain. As for musculoskeletal injuries, it's a similar line. You need to be strong, you need to be fit for what you're doing, you need to have, you know, if we're talking about sports, you need to have agility, you need to have the right type of strength, you need to have the right protective equipment. But by and large, it's about moving more and moving well.
Well, that's what I've been told when I've gone, you know, for different reasons. It's like stress less and
move more
and do some exercise to actually strengthen the muscles. Because like you were saying, I don't think people realize that doing nothing and living life, you're going to have more injury, you know.
Yeah.
And it's something really simple to know, you know, you need to strengthen your muscles to, you know, not have injury. But I think a lot of people just don't.
Yeah, and if you've never had any problems, like if you've never had any problems before, mm. you're not going to realize, like you're not going to see your deficits. Mm. And certainly, I think our peak muscle mass is usually sometimes around in our 20s. Mm. And, you know, from that point, we're literally losing muscle mass mm. unless you are training. Yeah. Unless you are training your muscles, you will lose muscle mass and you'll hit the point where you're not strong enough for your life.
Yeah, wow.
And to frighten you all out there, just go and get moving.
Everyone's hitting
doesn't
the
matter
gym.
Which one.
The gym memberships are going up. Yeah. No, it doesn't have to be a gym, hey.
It's whatever exercise works for you.
The next question is from Jenna. How do you pick a good physio? Oh. I never go because I hear stories of people wasting their time and their money.
I actually really appreciate this question because, you know, in my little physio bubble and my physio business bubble, we think that we're doing a great job. You know, this is a real example of our branding letting us down. And I mean, whether Jenna's been to a physio and been disappointed, or like she's just heard about people being disappointed, that's a real alarm bell. And I have a mind to share that with some of my physio business forums. There's a real challenge that exists in that we're actually not allowed to have reviews. Under our registration guidelines, it's illegal for us to have reviews on our websites, on our socials, any of that sort of stuff. So you certainly can't rely on that as a means to determine who's going to be a good physio to go and see. I would say it's going to have to be like your hairdresser. Ask your mates, ask your friends, ask your colleagues, ask your family, who have you gone to and who's good, and go from there. There is always going to be a certain amount of matching. Like, can I work with this person?
Yeah.
I consider myself in my physio world as more of a coach. You know, I'm not doing things to you. I'm helping you work this out together. And if if you're not finding someone that you can work with collaboratively or is answering your questions or is working for you, yeah, I mean, it is going to be a waste of time and money and disappointing. So, ask around. And if you feel early on that you're not being heard or it's not going to work for you, then try someone else. Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually surprised when I read this question because I've been to a few physios and every single one of them have been great.
Yeah, that's great.
And then it's like, how do I choose which one to keep going back to because they're all fabulous? So
yeah,
I guess
yeah.
Obviously everyone's going to have
the one with the better jokes, yeah. Obviously.
Oh, yes, yeah. good. I'll drive down to Moomba to see you. The next question, I don't know how you'll... If you'll want to answer this one, but
sure.
What annoys you when patients come in? That's from Jess.
Oh, Jess, I love it. Do you know? Oh, look. Admittedly, it's when they're late and they don't say sorry. But on the flip side, I'm often running late, so like it's hardly fair for me to criticise. Like, I mean, I've been all joking, lighthearted, but like to be perfectly honest, there's very, very little that annoys me about patients. Like, I take on really strongly the fact that this person's probably gone through any number of barriers to get to me, whether it is they're nervous, whether they're money, whether the time, whether they're embarrassed, all those sort of things. So like I really hold very strongly this unconditional positive regard that all practitioners are meant to have. And so there's very little that actually annoys me about people. People are nervous about saying the wrong thing, about smelly feet, about all of that sort of stuff. There's very little. The only thing that really stands out would be when I get mansplained and I'm like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Like, who's the one with the degree on the wall here?
Yeah.
I've literally had to point to my certificate a few times. And also when people, even when people don't even hold up the end of the bargain that we've decided they need to do to get better, like, I understand that. It's just, like, I get it. Like, I have a life too and I know that you can't always get your homework done. But, yeah, it's just when people... Well, you know, when they're not engaged in the process,
yeah.
I guess.
Which is quite interesting if they're coming, as a private, paying the money, and then not doing the homework. But I guess, people use the excuse, it's life gets in the way, which is true. But I guess if you want to get better, I'm a little bit guilty. I have had situation. I had rolled my ankle.
Ooh.
And then I rolled it twice. And then I went and she's like, have you been doing it? And I'm like, every second day. She's like, every day. And I'm like, sorry.
Yeah. But, it's a big thing. Look, it's typically the people who are... Even the people who don't get exercises done, because I'm not even perfect, promise at that. But it's the people who just sort of are scornful and all that. No one needs that.
There were all the listeners' questions. I want to get back into the business side of things.
Yep.
What have been the challenges that you've faced throughout this whole journey?
Yeah. Oh, there's always challenges. I think, a big leap was that, you know, I was working from home and like the practice flooded a few times. That was a little bit of a challenge. Can't really treat people underwater, although some people do. Aquatic physio is a totally valid stream of fitness. Anyway, not in floodwater, no.
Yes,
no. Yeah, so the practice flooding was, you know, disruption to business for any reason is challenging. I also, I mean, I've touched on it before, like, you know, your mindset and all that sort of stuff. You know, there's been times that I've been down in the dump and wanting to just give up and go and work for someone. And it's just about kind of, you know, staying the course and backing yourself. It really hit the point of in the other practice when I worked from home, I was just maxed out. You know, I couldn't actually fit a receptionist in there. I had to like book in reception time with my appointment time. So there was literally, I was topping out of how many people I could see. You know, my kids were really young then, like they're 6 and 8 now, but back then, almost 4 years ago, they were, you know, they were 2 and 4, and I didn't want to be working the practice all the time. And I knew that for me to be able to then be able to see as many people as I wanted to see, I would, something had to change. So, and that was a really big challenge of taking that big step, going from working from home to then finding somewhere to work in town. And I mean, like, it always seems to, it kind of all fell into place when I had the intentions there and when your eyes are open and you're looking. But it, again, I'm super low risk. Like, I was really scared doing that. It was a really big step. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to pay commercial rent every week.
Yeah.
I have to do a setup. I need to, you know, deck out this practice. I need to contend with lots of different things that I hadn't had to contend with before. And that was a real challenge. But I mean, ultimately, fortune favors the brave. And even though it wasn't very brave, it was brave for me.
Oh, definitely.
And it meant that I could get a receptionist on board. So I wasn't staying up till 10 o'clock at night doing invoices. And I wasn't, you know, having to figure out, you know, how to call that person back. But it's now 8:30 at night, and that's not really an appropriate time. So, you know, I really took on that challenge and opened the practice and got a receptionist. Like, you know, hiring staff is a challenge.
Yeah.
All those things were a big leap, but I would have kind of, I think I would have burnt out if I hadn't done it.
No, definitely. Yeah. And I think as well, and in different industries, you know, you've got to hire people that are experts in an area.
Yes.
To help you grow.
Yes.
Because one person, you're not meant to be an expert in everything. And you know, yeah, I think so. It's great that you've been able to take on, you know, staff and go from there.
Yeah, it's been big. And so then that was kind of, it's coming up 4 years ago that I moved out of home. So I kind of worked in the house for kind of 5 years, and then yeah, I've been in the practice on Main Street for almost 4 years now.
Do you think you would have moved out of your home practice earlier if you maybe had a different mindset? Like, if you were like, oh, I'm just going to do it, I'm just going to do it, I'm going to open up my own clinic.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's a great question.
You're not sure?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I maybe would have. The thing that really, like, the crux moment that made me went, this is ridiculous, Abby, is that I was so booked out because I could only see a certain number of people per day, whereas I can see many more per day now that I'm running on a more, like, rigorous timetable and I've got someone doing reception stuff for me. There's one particular patient I remember who was an awesome patient, who was really lovely, did all the things I asked them to do. They were in a real spot of bother and I just couldn't get them in. I'm like, this sucks. I need more slots.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that really made me go, that's it, it's time. Like, I'd turned away that week, I turned away 3 people who were awesome people that I wanted to help, I wanted to see, and I couldn't. So I was like, that's it, it's time.
And that's a pretty good, you know, meter to show you, like, there's all these people that want to see you. Yeah, you can't fit them in. It's like, sweet. Well, you know that if
it's time.
Yeah, that you can do that. So I think moving on to my next question, I think that opening a clinic and doing all the things that you've done is a massive achievement on its own. You know,
yeah.
That's just incredible. Thanks. But what would you say, I guess, is maybe your best achievement or your greatest or something that you remember, even if it might be something small? What was that?
Oh, gee. I mean, yeah, like, definitely for me, stepping out and opening the practice was a big one. I think the biggest challenge and achievement in recent years has been things like then stepping out in the business world and going, this is business, and recognizing myself as a business person and going into, you know, like, going to the local business chamber, not with a view to, like, you know, try and get every single person there to come and see me, but to go, wow, there's this whole community of people who have great business experience and I can learn from that. And so, yeah, it was like more opening my eyes to the other facet of what I do, which is business. So, you know, having opened that up, you know, I've got room to grow there. So that's a big achievement. I think it sounds really, it sounds a bit backwards as achievement, but I had to do some hiring and firing in the last year, and I hate to disappoint people. Mm-hmm. I hate to let people down. I you know, probably have this, you know, strong people pleaser sort of reflex in me, and you can't. Yeah. When you're hiring someone, you've got 120 applicants for the job, when someone's not right for the job and you have to fire them, man, that is so out of my comfort zone. And I feel as though, even though it wasn't like a shiny, like, trophy on the wall achievement, it was a really big step in my kind of business development.
Yeah, well, you've got to put your business pants on, don't you?
Big girl pants. Oh, I don't know how many times I said big girl pants to myself when I had to do it. I'm like, big girl pants, Abs, big girl pants.
Exactly. No. Where do you see this... Do you see this growing? Are you happy where it is?
Yep.
What's your goals with this?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. I don't know goals. Oh, you sound like my business coach.
Maybe that's my next hustle.
I don't know. I'm feeling a side hustle coming for you, Brooke. Look, I really do want to... I want to get better at understanding business and numbers to understand how much I can grow this business. Because, I mean, ultimately, people aren't going to travel forever to see a physio unless they're literally the peak of their game. And I am a generalist physio. So how much can I grow in this town? Yet to be determined. I do want to flesh out my business a bit. I would like to get another physio on board. I've got an exercise physiologist. I want to come work for me. I'd happy to get a massage therapist in just so we can work together. Like, it's a really great complementary relationships there, sort of therapeutically. That's what I would like to do. And then one day I do need to bust out of this town and probably do some business elsewhere. But I feel like after I've really hustled in the last 2 years, I just need to kind of
enjoy it
for a bit, chill out, yeah. Make the most of the work that I've put in, and then take another step when it comes.
That sounds great. Well, the last question to finish up this podcast is, do you have any tips for someone that maybe they're looking to start a clinic? Hey, it could be specific, or it could be something just in general. You know, they're looking to start a business or they're on that tipping point. What would you suggest?
Oh, okay. It's so funny. I give advice all day, every day to people, and I'm feeling really... challenged in giving advice on business and side hustle. Look, I think that you can never underestimate the value of planning. You can never underestimate the value of seeking out sort of lots of options and lots of different ways of doing things and seeking out advice. And even doesn't have to be a formal business coach, but you know, there's heaps of stuff online. There's like people you can talk to incidentally. So build your ballast, like have advice and plans on your side before you then, you know, jump down the rabbit hole. To me, I think if you can go into that feeling confident that you've done your prep, then you're going to be good.
Mm. And then it's just jumping and hoping, because at the end of the day, you could be so well prepared.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just your mindset holding you back.
Yeah. Like, you don't have analysis paralysis, certainly. Yeah. But yeah, if you can be like, I have prepared and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Before you sort of, you know, take any sort of looking before leap moment.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I feel like we could chat for a whole day.
Yeah.
This is great.
Oh, I can talk.
It's good. It's really great to hear about your experiences with business, you know, being a physio. And like I said before, they're two separate things. So growing them at the same time when there's only 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
Is quite incredible. So I really appreciate your time. And I want to know, where can people find you? You know, if they are based in Moomba or surrounding areas, you know, business plug, whatever you want.
Yeah, oh, great, thanks. Yeah, so I'm AA Physiotherapy and Sports Injury Clinic, and I am in Moomba, but, you know, I'm pretty active on my socials. So you can find me at AA Physio on Instagram and AA Physiotherapy on Facebook. Yeah. So I'm always throwing things up there, and you know, I love to answer questions or help out when I can.
Yeah, I've been on your page, and you do videos with advice and just random tips for the day, and I think that's really great for someone that you could just follow along just to get those tips, even if they aren't. And then maybe if they're passing through, they could stop in.
Look, yes, I'm happy to treat all comers. Thanks for having me.
No worries at all.